Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are tuning in from across this beautiful, beautiful continent. And welcome to On This Day in Africa, your daily trip through history. Now, today we're turning the pages of history back to 26th of June, and it's a busy day on the African calendar. So let's just dive right in. All right. So we start in 1960. On this day, Madagascar officially broke free from French colonial rules after more than 60 years. So Philibert Tsiranana stepped up as the country first president, marking the start of a new self-governing era for the island nation. Also, on this exact day in 1960, British Somaliland said goodbye to
Omutiha with the Kirakabuna I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasana Nana Longeshifa ya Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyao o taingongoti samweni. Anageshifa yanamibia ombitombwa nawa oronjika. Seisanina omayakuro ni randisoma yoe. Yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. I sounded as if someone is struggling my throat. All right. So also on the exact day in 1960, British Somaliland said goodbye to British rule and became independent. But the story doesn't stop there. The story doesn't stop. So just 5 days later, they voluntarily joined the former Italian Somaliland to create the country we know today as Somalia. Even though the world doesn't officially recognize Somalia as a separate country right now, they still celebrate June 26 as their own independent day. And now let's step back a few years to 1955. And traveled to South Africa. On June 26, in place called Kliptown, Johannesburg, thousands of people gathered for the Congress of the People. The Congress of the People. So together, they adopted a historical document called Freedom Charter. So their bold message was, people shall govern. You know, people shall govern. So this became a foundation, you know, it became a founding blueprint for the fight against apartheid, and actually helped shape South Africa's democratic constitution years later. Now, shifting gears to what June 26 means today across Africa, the rest of the world, it is the United Nations International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. So it is today, it's a United Nations International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. So it is a day set aside to talk openly about the damage drugs do to our communities and to push for countries to work together to stop the illegal drug trade. And finally, June 26 is also International Day in Support of Victim of Torture. So it's a serious reminder of the need to protect human rights. So across Africa, government and human rights groups use this day to stand with survivors, push for justice, and also hold abusers accountable. So it is International Day in Support of Victims of Torture, and it's also International Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. So, and that is your look at history for June 26th. And thank you for tuning in to On This Day in Africa. So we will catch you next time. So good morning and welcome. So we'll get back. We'll get back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, and good morning if you're just joining us. So here is the thought to start your day. Here is the thought to start your Friday. There's an African proverb that says a crocodile cannot become a lizard because the river dries up. A crocodile cannot become a lizard because the river dries up. What does it mean? Simply this, it simply means this. Difficult times don't change who you are. They actually reveal who you are. You know, when life gets hard, it's easy to panic, compromise maybe your values or pretend to be someone you are not. So, but the real character isn't built when things are going well. You know, it's revealed when you are facing challenges. So if you are honest, stay honest. You know, if you are kind, stay kind. If you are hardworking, keep working hard. So don't let temporary problems change the person you know you should be. So remember, season comes and go, and tough times don't really last forever. But the choices you make during those tough times can shape your future for years to come. So today, whatever challenge you are facing, don't lose yourself because of your circumstances. So remember, your character is your greatest strength. So as I said today, whatever challenges you are facing, don't lose yourself because of your circumstances. Your character is your greatest strength. So that's our thought for the day this morning on this Friday morning. Our time, 12 minutes past the hour of 8. All right. So what we can expect today, what we can look at, what we can look forward today in the show. We have actually a mouthful. We're going to look at a couple of things today in the show. One, well, and this you shouldn't shout it too loud about this. So our government ran out of cash at the end of May. You know, at the end of May, our government ran out of cash. Nothing, zero. Nothing in the account. And to keep things running, they ask for an overdraft of 1.8 billion. Now, the question is our government broke? That's what we're going to unpack and ask our first story in the show. So is our government broke? So stay tuned and unpack that with me. So another headlines, looking at our the villager. So we're going to look at another headline, that the story that is actually making the front page. Namibia's improved its Basel, you know, anti-money laundering index score, which is now 4.78 in 2025. So that's making it the fifth best performing country in Africa. In terms of low exposure to money laundering and financial crime risk. So that's another story that we are going to follow, to unpack, and make sure that you join me on that as well. And today, the 26th of June, 2026, the big chiefs of SACU at the Southern African Customs Union, we're going to come back to it.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
you'll get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right, the U in UNAM is definitely you. All right. So our time is 15 minutes past the hour of 8. And so I was just giving you the outlook or what we're going to look at, what we're going to discuss in the show this morning. And today, as I said, the 26th of June, 2026, we have the big chiefs of SACCU are meeting in Cape Town. This is the Southern African Customs Union. It's meeting in Cape Town. So what is this summit mean for Namibia? We can look at that as well. What this actually, this whole SACCU summit in South Africa, in Cape Town, mean for Namibia. So we're going to look at that as well. And of course, as usual, your participation will also be a part of the show. So good morning and welcome. So we'll be back in a second.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No.
All right. So good morning. Good morning. If you're just joining us and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day right here on Eagle FM. Okay. As this is something I said, we shouldn't shout about it. You know? It should be, you know, we shouldn't shout about this. Our government ran out of cash at the end of June. I mean, at the end of May. All right. Zero. Nada. Nothing in the account. Okay, am I exaggerating this? So, and to keep things running, they had to go cap in hand to the Bank of Namibia and ask for an overdraft of 1.8 billion. Now, this is according to the latest statement of asset and liability. The statement of asset and liability, the Bank of Namibia has released. So now what happened? Let me just put this in a, okay, I'm going to put this in a more practical way. Okay. So that you understand, you know, just imagine. Okay. Imagine you have a bank account every month, you know, every month money comes in, money comes in from your salary. And every month, of course, you go out. For the money goes out for rent, food, school fees, or whatever, all the things that keep life moving. So now, if you spend more than what comes in, your balance drops. Okay, we all know that. Now imagine 1 month, you check your balance, and it's exactly zero. Now you still have bills to pay. Remember, now you still have bills to pay, and so what do you do then? Okay, the normal thing that we do, you go to the bank and ask for overdraft because you still have bills to pay and you have a zero amount in your account. So you go to the bank and ask for overdraft, and which is basically a short-term loan that lets you spend money you don't actually have yet. Okay, so that's what it means. So you spend money you don't have yet. So, and that's exactly what the government did. Okay, that's what the government did. Their account hit zero at the end of May, and they borrowed 1.8 billion from the Bank of Namibia just to keep the lights on, and salary paid. Okay? Now, just think about that seriously. Okay, but here's the thing now. Okay. Here's the thing. This was not one-off bad month. Eh? It was not just a one-off bad month. If you look at the pattern, Look at the pattern. In March, the government was already 3.23 billion in the red. In March, the government was already 2.23 billion in the red. That is negative, meaning they owed more than they had. Then in April, look in April, things look a bit better. In April, things look a little better. Maybe they managed to scrabble together a positive balance. Okay, here in March, and I mean in April, they managed to scrap up together a positive balance of 379 million in April. Well, maybe some tax money came in, or maybe a payment from state-owned enterprise, you know, landed in the account. So here they manage, you know, 379 million, you know, a positive balance. But by May, you see, by May, they were back in the hole, okay? They were back in the hole again. This time, the hole was actually 1.8 billion deep. Now, it was 1.8 billion deep. So, we are looking at the government that is lurching, really, lurching from month to month. Never quite sure if it will have enough cash to get enough, yeah? It's never... When you look at this, when you look at March and then you look at May, you look at April, all this, you know, it's, as I said, the government is lurching from month to month. And that doesn't give you assurance that, you know, you will get, you know, you will pay it. You'll be paid, you know. So you're never quite sure if it will have enough cash to get through. That's our government. And it's right here. It's absolutely right here. All right? Now, the question is the government broke? Why this is happening? Let's be honest. Is the government broke? Now, in the article from the Daily News, from a daily newspaper, an economist, actually a friend of the show, okay, Dr. Omu Kakuyahama Tundu, is quoted saying that the 1.8 billion overdraft is not a big deal. You know, he said the Bank of Namibia is the government's banker. So, and when cash flow get tight, you know, an overdraft is just a normal tool, which is true. All right. Now he said it is about timing. So the problem is that it's about timing, not about government being broke, but it's about timing. And look, I really respect my professor. I respect the professor. And he knows his stuff, okay? Now, but I want us to think in this way. But I want you to think about this in this way, okay? I want you to think about it this in this way. Now, say, for example, if your friend told you they had, okay, they say, well, I had to borrow, let's say I have to borrow 500 from the bank just to buy grocery this month because their salary has not come through yet, what would you say? Definitely you say, oh, that's okay. And sometimes that happens, you know. So, but if the same friend told you they had been doing it for 3 months straight, okay? Let's say if they have been doing this for 3 months straight and the amount now kept getting bigger, you start actually to worry, isn't it? Yeah? You would, isn't it? You would start to worry about your friend. And that is the situation we are in. So this is not as a once-off, like, you, as I said, like your friend who would actually told, you know, I just borrowed 500 from the bank just to buy grocery this month. It's not just that month. Now, as we can see, your friend has been actually doing this for 3 months straight. And as we look at what he has been borrowing, it kept getting up. The amount kept getting bigger. Eh? So you have to start worrying. And that's what we should be. Eh? That is the situation we are in. The government keeps saying it is a timing problem. And as of course our doctor even said, it's a timing problem. Revenue comes in late. Expenses goes out on time. So there's a gap. So when it comes to turning problems that, okay, revenue are coming in late, expenses goes out on time. So there is a gap there. And yes, that can happen. So, I mean, if you understand finance, that can happen. So, but when it keep happening month after month, you have to ask, you know, you have to ask a deep question. You know, is this really just a timing issue? Is this really a timing issue? Or is there a bigger problem with how our government actually manages its money? We have to ask that question. Because it's happening month after month. Is there a bigger problem with how our government manages its money? So maybe, are we, things that we can look at, I mean, things that we can think about, are we collecting enough revenue? Eh? So that's another thing, that's something that pops in your head quickly. Are we collecting enough revenue? That's one. Are we spending too much? That's another. So are there maybe leakages we don't know about? That's a fair question as well. I think these are questions, and I think these are questions nobody in the power seem actually eager to answer. And these are questions that nobody really seems to answer. And that's what should. This is what should concern every Namibian listening right now. This is what should concern you, listening to me right now. So what is going on? So, as I said, is there a bigger problem with how our government manages its money? And it's our money. That's why we should be concerned. We should be concerned about this. All right. So now, let's also talk about other side of the story. Okay, there's also another side of the story, because the Bank of Namibia report was not all, it was not all bad news. Okay, it wasn't all bad news. There were also good news. Now, the bank total international investment actually went up from about 47 billion in March to nearly 51 billion in May. This is now total international investment. Now, that sounds great. And sometimes it sounds great when you read it on paper, but when you dig a little deeper, the picture gets more complicated. Okay, it gets a little bit complicated. In May alone, those investments dropped by almost 3 billion. Why? Because the value of foreign currency in our reserve basket actually fell down. Okay. So the value of foreign currency in our reserve basket fell. Now, South Africa rent lost about 1.82 billion in value, and other foreign currency dropped by another 1.25 billion. So since our economy is tied closely to South Africa, when the rand weakens, it directly hit our reserves as well. So, and remember what we were asking day before yesterday as well, in terms of our currency being pegged to South Africa, to South African rand, and what are we benefiting from that? We're talking about stability, but are we benefiting from that? So since our economy is tied so closely to South Africa, so when the rand weakens, of course, it directly also hit our reserves. So, and think of it like this. If you keep your saving in US dollar and the dollar drops against the Namibian dollar, your savings are worth less. Yeah, even though you did not touch a cent, even if you didn't touch any cent, then your money, you know, your saving becomes, they are worth less.
Great news! Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And I was just saying, so we're talking about Namibia being, you know, broke. And I was just talking about, in reference to the foreign currency, and when we look at those months, the South African rand lost about 1.82 billion in value, and other foreign currency dropped by another 1.25 billion. And then, as I was saying, that when you are tied, because we are tied closely to South African rand, so when the rand weakens, it directly hit also our reserves, and sometimes without even touching your money, you know, when South African rand drops, or I was given example of that, if your saving is in US dollar and the dollar dropped against the Namibian dollar, so the saving become actually worth less, you know. So, but there is also a bright spot. I think there's also a bright spot, our gold, according to the report, our gold holdings. So our gold holdings also doubled. So jumping from 165 million in April to 320 million by the end of May. Okay, so that is about, that's 155 million increase just in 1 month. Okay, so that's also a bright spot in terms of this. Now, gold has been a global tier lately, okay? So hitting record higher, and Namibia is benefiting from that. We are benefiting from that. So, and on the flip side, our holdings with the International Monetary Fund, known as special drawing right, also fell by about 291 million. So it's kind of like, while the gold gave us a boost, you know, so while the gold actually gave us the boost, the IMF holdings pulled in the opposite direction. So we're not surviving here. We are absolutely not surviving here. All right. So, and it's good to get into this number. It's fascinating when you look at this report. So, of course, then the net result is that the bank's revaluation reserve, which is basically the buffer that account for this up and down in a foreign currency values, it also shrank from 7.35 billion to 6.88 billion. So that buffer is getting thinner, okay? It's getting thinner, and in uncertain, when we are now in these uncertain global times, a thinner buffer means less protection for our economy. So that's what it means. So that actually the position that we're finding ourselves in. So make sure that you sometime get hold of this kind of report. It as I always tell you, numbers don't lie. Get into it, learn to understand some of this. So it tells you a lot about where our country is and how is our money being spent. How's our money being spent? Now, here's another number that caught my eye. Okay. And This is a number that caught my eye. The amount of physical cash the public is holding, I think, keeps going up. From March to May, currency in circulation, and this is very interesting, the currency in circulation rose from 5.42 billion to 5.82 billion. Now, that's an extra 400 million in notes and coin out there in just 2 months. So, now, more cash in people's hand could mean a few things. All right? It could mean a few things. It could mean that the economy is active, people are spending, and business is thriving. But looking at where we are, it could also mean something less positive. It could also mean something less positive. When people start pulling more cash out of the bank and holding on to it, it sometimes signal a lack of trust in the banking system or an anxiety about the future. So it's either a signal that there's a lack of trust in the banking system or an anxiety about the future. Well, I'm not saying that this is what's happening now. This is what's happening here. But in a country where the government is repeatedly dipping into the overdrafting facilities, it's actually a number worth watching. So that's a number worth watching. Seriously. And it's coincidence that this is happening almost at the same time. So it is. What I'm saying is just that, well, that's number worth watching. Okay? So, yeah, it's something that we need to think about. Think about. Okay? So, now let's tie all this together. Okay? Let's put this together. I'm going to put this together for you. Now, the government ran out of cash. Okay? The government ran out of cash. They borrowed 1.8 billion to keep going. And as I said, an economist say, do not panic, all right? Don't panic. It's just the timing. But the pattern for me, the issue for me, the pattern say this is becoming a habit, all right? As much as the economist said, well, don't panic, I see that this is becoming a pattern. It's not a once-off or something like that. It's a pattern that we see emerging. Now, the other thing is that our foreign reserve took a hit because the rand weakened. And something that we now start thinking about, talking about, why, what are we benefiting from being pegged? I know the world they talk about is about stability, but we should start that conversations. You know, what are we benefiting from peg our rent to South African rent? So the foreign reserve took a hit because the rent actually weakened. The only thing that saves us was gold. Gold saved us a little. Didn't save us completely. It saves us a little. But the other problem then was our IMF holding because they drop. So that's why we couldn't, you know, the saving from the gold didn't do much because our IMF holds drop as well. So our revaluation buffer, it's actually shrinking. It's shrinking. It's getting empty. So that's also something that we should be worried about. So, and ordinary Namibians, when we look at the movement that are happening, are holding more cash than before. So we are holding more cash than before. And what does that mean? Which could mean a lot of things, and none of which we should ignore. Okay, so we shouldn't ignore. Whatever it is, we should ignore that because it's a signal of something. So what should you take away from all this? What you should take away from all this is that pay attention. First, pay attention. You know, when your government cannot pay its bill without borrowing from its own central bank, That is a warning sign. That is a warning sign. So, it does not mean that sky, okay, it doesn't mean that the sky is falling today, okay? So, it doesn't mean that, well, the sky is about to fall. No, that's not what it means. But it means somebody need to start asking tough questions. Somebody need to start asking tough questions about revenue collections. Are we collecting enough? Eh? About government spending and long-term financial planning. And this is very serious, guys. You know, when you look at all this report and when you look at all these figures, okay? So, and secondly, understand that what happened at the top, and this is important for us now as an individual, what I want you to understand, what happened at the top eventually reaches your pocket. Eventually hit your pocket. So if the government keeps relying on overdraft, for example, okay, if it keeps relying on overdraft, it affects inflation. It affects inflation. It affects the value of the Namibian dollar. Yes, it would affect the value of the Namibian dollar, and it affects the cost of living. As I said, in the end, it will actually reach your pocket. That's why I say pay attention. Pay attention. Eh? And thirdly, you know, do not let anyone, you know, tell you this is too complicated to understand. It's not. So it's your money. It's your country. You have every right. You know, you have every right to demand answers. We have every right to demand answers. All right. So what do you think? Okay. So what do you think? So our telephone number, now you can come through and have your reaction on that. Our telephone number, and we're coming live from the Ondangu studio. Our telephone number is 08333-66091. That's the magic number, 08333-66091. So what do you think? 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 4:03 past the hour of 8. And it's Friday. It's Friday. And, well, what do you think? It looks like we're living from mouth to mouth as a country. You know, from mouth to mouth, from hands to mouth, not from mouth to mouth. What am I talking about? So from hands to mouth, you know? Yeah, so what do you think? 08333-66, you may come through on that particular story of government actually and in the month of May, taking an overdraft of 1.8 billion. So what does it mean to take an overdraft? What does it mean? All right. So 08333-66091. Do please come through and have your say on that. So otherwise, we're moving forward. We are moving forward. Okay. Now let's look at what we have today. What making the front page of today's what is it, of today's today's The Villager. So today's edition of The Villager. So this morning we're looking at a story that, as I said, that making the front page of The Villager. It is a story by my colleague from the Early Mornings Group, my colleague David Shombe. Well, it sounds like a good news. It may, and in many ways it is actually, and it, in many ways it is a good news. So, but as we always know, as you always know, as what we always do on this show, you know, we are going to look beyond the headlines. Okay, we're going to look at beyond the headlines and ask what the story really means for you. What does it mean for you? And now, here's what happened. Okay, so please, this is a story you can find in today's edition of The Villager. It's this front page. It's the story that making the headline. You know, the Financial Intelligence Center, that is the FIC, the body that track dirty money moving through our banks, just launched its first annual report since it became its own boss. You know, when I said since it became its own boss, when it separated from the Bank of Namibia. So this is their first annual report. So now, and the big headline is this: Namibia has improved its score on something called the Basel Anti-Money Laundering Index. So we are now sitting at 4.78, and that makes us the fifth best performer on the African continent when it comes to low exposure to financial crime. Okay? Now, before we clap too loud, okay, or before we just pat ourselves back, we pat, what has happened to me, you know? Okay, just before you clap too loud, let me explain what that number actually means, okay? So before we give ourselves too much pat at the back. All right, so the Basel index means how... The Basel index measure how vulnerable a country is to a debt money, and how strong its system are to fight back. So that's what it measures. It measures how is the country vulnerable to this debt monies, you know, and do you have strong system actually to fight back? That's what it is all about. Now, a lower score is better. So the lower the score, the better, because we are at 4.78, which still fall in the medium risk band, okay? We are in the medium risk band, okay? We're not really kind of like, hey, we did it. No, we're still in the medium risk band. So we have improved. Yes, we have improved, but we are not in the clear. Okay, we are not like, we are clear. So we moved from serious trouble. So we moved from a serious trouble to, yeah, watch closely. Eh? So we moved from the serious trouble to now watch closely. So that's a progress, but not a victory. Okay, it's not a victory yet. Maybe we're going to get there. So maybe we're going to get a victory at one point. All right. So now... And here's the part now that maybe the press release that you get buries that a little bit, okay? It buries that a little bit. And remember last year, 2024, when the Namibia got dumped on the FATF gray list. You remember? No, that's the Global Financial Watchdog's naughty list. That's a naughty list. I call it a naughty list. If you are on that list, you are a naughty boy. Eh? So you are a naughty boy. So that's the Global Financial Watchdog's, you know, watchdog naughty list, the Financial Action Task Force. Now, being on that list is bad news. Okay? As I said, it's a naughty list. If you are on that list, it's a bad news. International banks start, you know, treating every Namibian transaction as suspicious, you know, or auspicious when you are on that list, you know, everything get harder, you know, it get harder and more expensive to send money abroad if you are on that list. So investor also get nervous if you are on that list. So an ordinary business also feel that squeeze, you know, in bank fees because, you know, your country is on that list. And also it become more bureaucratic. There will be more papers asked. You are asked to fill in more papers and it becomes more exhausting and bureaucratic. So it's a bad news being on that list. So getting off that list, which we are now, so which happened after we fixed all 13 problems areas, the watchdog flagged. So that's a genuine win. It's a genuine, a real, real deserved. Let's give credit where it's due. So let's give credit where it's due. After, very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's Mike. How are you?
I'm fine. And how are you, man?
I'm okay, my brother.
Yep. So it's Friday.
So Friday is always like that. And, you know, people get paid, huh?
the lucky ones.
Yeah, the lucky ones, that's why they are not coming through.
You know.
Yeah, that's Mike. So are we in the gray list?
Yeah, no, we are off the gray list. We managed to fix the 13 problem areas that were flagged. Yeah. Well, no, we are off for now. Yeah.
For now.
No, you just said for now. When you are off, you are not off the hook. You know?
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah. And we may become complacent again and think, we are off now and what?
We are off now.
But this is the beginning of hard time, actually, you know?
But I thought we are doing well since the introduction of what?
Introduction
we are collecting
number.
Billions and whatever, and then I thought, yes, our coffee is full of money now.
You said we are doing well at the introduction of Namra?
Did you?
Yeah. No, the thing is that...
I thought so.
No, it, not bad, but at the beginning it was actually, yeah. But now, remember the pool, the tax base, you know, the tax base where we are collecting tax is very small.
Yeah, that's the thing now.
It's very, very, very small. You know, the majority of people are in the informal sector, which are not actually taxed. So that's a big problem. The tax base is quite small. And no matter how much you squeeze, and we are more like squeezing, you know, we're squeezing these little people. And until there's nothing left anymore for them.
Yeah. Exactly. And the point also, Mike, if you look, I think we are more concentrating on the individual people than the companies.
Yeah.
On the mine. Because I'm telling you, the companies are getting away with this tax revenue.
Yeah.
Because how many times, I think not too long ago when they are saying this is a mine with sold to Parliament company, and the government didn't get nothing at all.
It's actually this year. I think it was this year. If it's not year, it was last year. I think it was this year.
I think this year, where
I brought up who owns which mine and who are evading actually taxes, you know, and the number of mining were actually, they were not paying taxes or royalties and all those. There are a number. So it was a tactic that these companies uses, as you are saying, you know, to avoid taxes and royalties. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I think we need to fix our revenue collection because it's not in that point because now we are more concentrating on the individual. Just imagine even like you're having a doctor who's always taking care of the whole family, depend on that doctor. But it's end up paying like even more than it's illicit when you're getting deduction.
Yeah.
Around 8,000, 7,000 there. Sometimes even But it's just an individual person. Just imagine now. Why allowing even a mine to do that, a transaction without the government getting nothing, getting 0%?
But sometimes it's not really deliberately allowing it. It's just that they are being clever than us. So where you have no way you can prove, you know. You remember even when we were talking about that, even when there aren't even oversight of the things that are coming out of the mine. They are only given what the mine giving them. They are not the one who are actually doing supervision inventory where they're looking at, like, yeah. They go through the log to say, "Is this is what is coming? Let me see if this is what you're taking out is exactly what you're having." And things, those are things that are not done. Eh?
Yeah, but we are the ones to be brave.
Yeah,
because we are not really up our game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why we are the ones. That's why we end up taking only the revenue which we are receiving, and sometimes I will detect from the mind that. The man is telling you this is what you sought, and you just have to believe whatever they tell you.
Amen. The other example is the story that we have of Uis, where it was operating on a mining already, while it's having a exploration license.
Those were
resources already getting out of the country.
I'm telling you.
Why they were not supposed to? Yeah.
No punishment, nothing. Even now, even the company was exploring, the one who is getting that share. I mean, getting the benefit again, without even you to force them, even to come up with a refinery in Namibia, because you say no, you are exploring. Either now you set up them supply chain here, or you slip out because you're already contravening our law. But nothing happened. Nothing.
For 3 years, imagine. 3 years is a long time.
A long time, my friend. Then you are here, like, if a person failed to pay the tax, numerous have to deal with him. But you're allowing the mine to do that in the country where you are saying you are not collecting enough money.
Is
I think somehow, somewhere, there are individual people who are benefiting in the office.
Of course,
because you cannot tell me.
Yeah.
You cannot tell me for 3 years you cannot detect that mine. The trucks are driving every day to Vals Bay. The Kangwa are shipping the material which are coming from there. And as a people, you want to tell me that there's no people who are involved. Starting from the port authority. Coming to the people who are in the office, coming to people who are even working there, who are seeing. And the fact is where all of us we found out from that, it's only the guy who's, the driver who stole the truck.
Yeah.
With that thing, it's where we even found that there's a mineral, lithium going on.
Yeah.
You see? Otherwise, up to now, we still have to be in the dark, but there are people who know how. You cannot tell me that person just come from there to come and exploring without a government knowing. Mm-mm. It's a lie.
Yeah.
There was supposed to be a punishment, seriously. But seriously, we need to come up with a way we can control the foreigners. Otherwise, this is getting out of hand.
We need, there's so much that's going on. We have so many policies and documents that are not being implemented.
They are only targeting Namibia.
Yeah.
Only target Namibia, but in foreign direct investment, what they are talking about, nobody's controlling them seriously.
Yeah.
And now, if you look, Mike, the guy was caught with a medicine for mustard. How many of them they are doing that?
Yeah, you are only a thief. You are only a thief when you are caught.
Yes, sir.
When you are not caught, you're a businessman.
You're a businessman. That's the thing. And just imagine if the guy can put in the tax shop here. How many of them they are already in the DRC? Medicine. no, man.
Yeah.
We are blaming South Africa, whatever they are doing. But sometimes we look at ourselves and they're like, guys, I think it's enough, man. These guys need to go.
Yeah,
he also illegally doing a lot of nonsense.
I think we have system that we
we are just lazy to do anything about.
Not just lazy. There are people who are involved.
Yeah.
Namibian, a small percent of Namibian who are involved on those. Even illegal people who are coming to Namibia, there are people who are benefiting out of that.
Just to say, there are systems that are actually serving a certain smaller group of people.
Percentage, yeah. Exactly.
So a certain of a small elite group of people, and they are powerful. I mean, like anywhere in the world, you have either company or people that are powerful, and when they say something, they speak. What they say goes.
Yeah, but the problem is sometimes also you have to get rid of those people. Enough is enough.
But they are the one who hold the economy together.
that is the thing now.
They are the one who hold the economy together. You will be shaking in your boots really to say, okay, this should not happen, because you may just collapse. Eh? Your economy might just collapse.
But serious, things are not okay, man. We need to put our house in order. Serious. Yeah.
So it's something that I'm going to talk in the next story where in terms of the revenue that comes to from SACU. There is a meeting today in the summit in Cape Town today.
Yeah. I think our president even is hitting that.
So now, say for example, you decided now that okay, let's go away with SACU, and without you having already maybe having in place of that, what are you going to replace that revenue with? So it's the same thing when it comes to some of this, some of the institution that hold or people that hold our economy. You can't just tell them anything, because once they decided to pull out or whatever the case may be, you are left without nothing in place.
Nothing at all. Yeah. And the thing also that we are not even trying to work on that for ourselves. Well, I remember even there was a president talking in the TV, come on, no, we invite even the, if you guys were in the business, I'm like, what is he doing to support the business people so they cannot have a higher competition with this foreigner who is talking about to bring in Namibia? The problem is that every time I'm looking at our leaders talking about you Namibian business are not doing anything, you are not, then we wonder, Kamakucha, where did you put even a supporting mechanism for these guys to take off? To have a business of improving from 1 million to a billion, 1 billion. How? If without a government intervention, even those companies which you're trying to invite, they have a support, a backup for their government.
Yeah.
But we are here trying to look at it down people who are trying even to create a job. Look how we kill the business people in the north.
Yeah.
How can you just invite somebody from Asia to come and do business, what the other people are doing in Namibia, without even coming up with a manufacturer or whatever factory or whatever? Because India is a big market, my friend. You cannot compare with India and Namibia. And now we have a land group taking over.
You don't even compare yourself. You go to India. You don't even compare yourself with South Africa here. Why do you go far away?
Just meeting in South Africa, but you are allowing to kill our business, which is supposed to support the backbone of this country. And remember, it's what I'm saying. We never learn anything from even Corona. Corona is supposed to teach us the our big mistake which we are doing, but we never even evaluate and look at ourselves or what we are going, where we are heading. Because remember, even that time of bed and breakfast, my friend, they come down to 250. But if you go there now, they will charge you like 700, because they already target the foreigners. Just imagine if you are having your wedding and now you want to go for honeymoon. How can you spend 750 a day? And sometimes it's not even breakfast, it's not even included.
Honeymoon, I can't even get about the diet, my dear.
Me too. I'm telling you. Somewhere more, I'm going to go to the hospital and I'm going to go to the hospital. Yeah. It's okay, Mike. Let me give other people a chance.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Sharp, sharp.
All right. Yeah. So we're following a story in today's edition of Making the Headlines, making the front page of the Villager. Yeah. So. Yeah, and I was talking about the grey list, you know. So getting off of that list, which happened after we fixed, you know, all 13 problem areas, which the watchdog has flagged. So I think that's a, in honest truth, that's a genuine win for us as a country, and really deserved win. And let's give credit where it's due. All right, but and you always know that there's a but on this show, okay? And I'm not talking then, you know, the backside. So, but the BUT, you know, there's always a but on this show. So, and here's the curious thing, okay? Here's the curious thing. In June 2025. The European Union still put Namibia on its higher risk list. So we were off on the other one, on the Financial Action Task Force. I think that's in France. I think it's based in France, that one. So, but you still have the European Union still put Namibia on its own higher risk list. Even after all the fixes that we made with the Financial Action Task Force. So we're still on the higher risk list of the European Union. So one big watchdog say you are clean. Another say, we're not too sure. Eh? So we're not too sure.
A very good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. Can you hear me?
All right. That's one is sleeping on the phone. All right. So now, as I said, we have now the one watch, you know, one big watchdog says, you are clean. And another say, we are not too sure. Okay. Why? Now, because now the European Union, moves as its own, it moves on its own pace. It doesn't follow what the other one is saying, and uses its own checklist. So, and also that matter for us, Namibia, that really, really matter because Europe is a major trading partner for us. So even if we are out there, so this still matter, you see? So while we celebrate the FATF exit, you know, so the EU listing is still hanging over our heads, and it affects real things because those can affect real things. It can affect things like loans, you know, if you want maybe loan from the World Bank, from IMF. So it would affect that. It would affect investment. It would affect business deals as well. So it's very important. So, that we also make sure that we continue improving our system, our financial system, so that maybe the European we also get off from the European Union listing. All right. So now let's talk about what is actually happening on the ground. So the head of the FIC. The Financial Intelligence Center, you know, tells us that they pumped out 482 intelligence report this year. 482 intelligence report. So some reacting now to crimes that already happened, and others sniffing out trouble before they blow out, okay, or before they blow up. So, and they help forfeit. They help to forfeit 25 million Namibian dollar linked to financial crime. 25 million Namibian dollar. So, plus also recovered 29 million in unpaid taxes. So, well, now, is that a lot? I mean, for you and me, of course, for you and me, yes, that's a lot. But you have to think in terms of a scale of what this might be flowing through the system. Think about what might be flowing through the system. We're talking about 25 million, talking about, you know, 29 million. So when you think, when you think in terms of the scale of what might be flowing through the system, probably just it could be just the tip of the iceberg, as they said. The real question, every listeners, you know, the questions that you and I should be asking is, how much are we not catching? So here we know what we catch. So here we know what we catch, 29 million unpaid taxes or whatever, 25 million dollar linked to financial crimes. Now, the question, as I said, we must be asking is, how much are we not catching? So it could be more. So this could be just a drop, as I said, could be a tip of the iceberg. Maybe there could be more that we haven't catched. Eh? And here's the part that that should make every Namibian actually pay attention. This is where now you should be paying attention. So the top crimes, the top crimes feeding this dirty money are not actually, these are not some kind of foreign smugglers. Okay? When we hear now this crime, when we talk about, financial crimes, you may be thinking, oh, maybe these are top, some foreign smugglers. No, it's our own homegrown problems. This is our own homegrown problems. Corruption, bribery, fraud, wildlife, crime. Yes, the money behind poaching and rhino horn, and drug trafficking. These are homegrown problems. You know, it's not some kind of foreign smugglers that are doing this. So that is something that you should be worried about. Now, so when the FIC say we need to uproot corruption and leave no stone unturned, that's not just a nice talk. Eh? It's not just a nice talk. That is them pointing the finger at the very system that funds them, seriously. So, and that takes God also. So the FIC, also thanked the Prosecutor General Office, NAMRA, the police, and the Commercial Bank, which is fair enough. Of course, this is not something that they have done alone. I mean, getting off the gray list was a team effort. Overall, this was a team effort. It's not just one institution that have done that. So, but the intelligence report, only as good when we're looking at this report, only as good as what happened next. Okay? Only as good as what happened next. A report that sits in a drawer helps no one. If you receive the report and you put it under your drawer, it doesn't help anyone. The real test is prosecution. Eh? So we need to see some prosecution. We need to see some conviction. We need to see money actually returning to the state or returning to the public purse. We need to see that. We cannot just tell us, okay, this is what happened. We need to see. Eh? That's where the follow-up through has to happen. That has to happen. Some heads have to turn. And in Namibia, we hear all that. We hear all that. and all that's been done, and we're being proud about it, and we have that. But where are the people that are responsible? Where's accountability? Yeah? Where's accountability? Maybe the question we should asking is also for us. What does this mean for us ordinary Namibians? Yeah? Getting off the FATF gray list. It should make international banking easier. One thing that we were talking about that I think a day before yesterday. So it should make international banking easier over time. This is not something that's happened like this, because you have to create that confidence in the foreigners banking system, in the foreign banks and also in financial institutions. So, and it would then help improve investors' confidence. Okay, and that if that happened, then which means job and business opportunity down the line. So that would be a good news for us getting off that. So, but the work is far from over. You know, as we have seen, the work is far from over. Namibia still carries a medium risk rating. The EU listing remain in place. And many of the financial crimes affecting our reputations are rooted in corruption. They are rooted in corruption. They are rooted in fraud, and this is happening at home. It's not something that is that's actually happening outside here. It's happening at home. So the FIC has shown it can do the homework. It can do the work. It has done its homework. Now the rest of the system, what it means is now the rest of the system, the politicians, the prosecutors, the police, they need to match that effort. They now have to match that effort. So you can't just have the intelligence doing their work and then, yeah, when they place the report and everybody just fold their hand. Eh? So, because a clean financial reputation is not a prize you win once and frame it on the wall. Yeah? So, oh, okay, that's it. And then you frame it on the wall. No, that's something. It's something you build every day through accountability. That's the most important, through accountability, through strong institution. And we're talking now, you know, prosecution, you know, prosecutors, the police and all that. So, strong institution and commitment to enforcing the law, and that means also politicians and MPs in our parliament. Yeah? It's a commitment to enforcing the law, and that's a conversation I would like us to have this morning. 08-333-66-091. Okay? So, what do you think? What is your take? 08-333-66-091.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samweni. Anageshifa ya Namibia ompito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupikira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. kara omkwashi pareki uimwe po yo mo programa detu moambo dengera selma kodara heta tuimwe datu datu heari hamano tano oniari Eagle no, FM the eye.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And this is, if you're just joining us, you're tuning to Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. All right. So, yeah, what is your take? What is your take on our, on just what we're looking at now? And our telephone number. So our telephone number is 0833-66-091. 0833-66-091. All right. Okay. There are other stories that I want to talk about. So let's move on. Let's move on. It's Friday. We move. We move, my friend. We are moving. So these, let's look at the story, what is happening today, what is happening today, the 26th of June, 2026. The big chiefs of SACCU, as I said earlier on, the big chiefs of SACCU, the Southern, and I just read something now. The president actually just arrived. Our president just actually arrived in Cape Town. She just arrived at Cape Town. So this is now, as I said, the big chief of SACCU, the Southern African Customs Union, meet in Cape Town today. Namibia sit at the table with South Africa, Botswana, Eswatini, and Lesotho. Now, they share a custom port. So we share that custom port, and that port pays for a big chunk of our national budget. A country like Lesotho, Botswana, you know, Eswatini and Lesotho. So much of that pay for a big chunk of our national budget. So when they talk, you know, when now SACCU talk, your wallet listen. When SACCU speaks, your wallet listen. You may not, even if you don't hear it, you know, your wallet definitely listen, okay? Now, so the headlines are saying this summit is about industrialization and regional trade, you know, integration, regional trade integration. Nice words, as always, when it comes to summit and things like that. So, but let's unpack what they really mean for you and for me. You know, sitting here in Ondangwa, you know, Shakati, or wherever you are, in Windhoek, Wavish Bay, Kiertmansroop, what does it mean, really? You know, because when you have all this summit and all, when we have many of them, we have many of them in Namibia, conferences, does it really impact you in a way? Like now, me sitting here, or you sitting wherever you are, wherever you find yourself, does it really impact you? This is thing for us here. That's what we're looking at. You know, we're looking at, you know, we're not just looking at on that level. So because we have so many, you know, our ministers, leaders and what going out, and but how do they impact our economy in the way that affect me in a positive way, in the quality of life that I'm living? And as I said, when SACCU speaks, you know, we have to listen. We have to pay attention, because that, as I said, it pays for a big chunk of our national budget, which actually pays you. You could be a teacher, could be a civil servant. It pays you. So for many years, for decades, SACCU has worked like this, okay? Well, South Africa makes the goods. In many cases, you know, South Africa makes the goods. Namibia, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini, Swaziland, used to be Swaziland, Eswatini, they buy them. So South Africa makes the goods and we buy them. Now, and the custom pool gets shared back to all five countries. That pool, the SACCU receipt, you know, has been paying roughly a quarter, sometimes, you know, sometimes a third of our national budget in good years. Sometimes there are those good years, and it can pay a third of our national budget. Seriously, you know. So there have been some good years where we really got a good chunk from that pool. It has been dipping. It has been really going down after years after years. Maybe that's what prompted this summit. So and that really, that SACCU receipt, that is massive. Okay, it's massive. That is teacher salary. So that's ARV medication. You know, that's the grant. You know, that's a grandmother that reaches grandmother in the village. So it is massive. Yeah? And we need to take that seriously. So it is massive. Now, the chairperson of SACCU's senior trade official is telling the media that SACCU must move beyond traditional trade arrangement and go into a stronger industrial collaboration. Let's move away from this traditional trade arrangement and go into a stronger industrial collaboration. So what does that mean? How does that look like? You know? So if you translate that, she is saying, stop just sharing custom money. Stop just sharing the custom money. Start building factories together, you know? That's what she's saying. Yeah? Stop just sharing the customary money, okay? This customs money. Start building factory together. Yeah? Fine, okay? But here's the hard question. Our leader must answer before, I think, they sign anything in Cape Town. And hopefully they are aware of that. Now, if, all right, and I'm just thinking, just a simple man sitting in the studio. If the customs revenue eventually becomes smaller, what's going on with me today? So if the customs revenue eventually becomes smaller, given what they are saying, you know, will Namibia have built enough, let's say, factories or industry or job to replace that income? Would we have actually? This is looking at where we are. Sometimes the things about us Namibian, we get so comfortable in the way things are until something happens. That's when we wake up. Okay, what are we going to do? We panic and then start have all this emergency and, you know, the question we should be asking ourselves, and not only about this summit, it's something that we should be asking ourselves already, because the direction is, remember, this SACCU thing, it started, this deal started in 1910. Things have changed, and things could change. If things change, now we just get used to this, to this revenue without thinking ahead. And this is what I'm asking. If the customs revenue eventually becomes smaller or disappeared, I don't know, will Namibia have built enough factories, for example? We have industries or job to replace that income? The answer is no. As we stand right now, the answer is no. Not in terms of factory, not in terms of industry, not in terms of job. A big no. A big red no. Okay. Now, they are saying, let's look at what they are saying. Let's look at all their press releases and all that. So they are saying, agro-processing is a big opportunity. Listen. Agro-processing is a big opportunity. You know, you can understand this from South African point of view. Yeah, well, now, Namibian farmer they move cattle. You know, we move cattle, we move grain, we move fresh produce across borders every single day. Now, everything that, anything that smooths the border, that cuts the paperwork at Amsflay or Shikango or North Uvel, yes.
Imba ya rire ombwa nai etepa weda ko ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwe imba. Ona ovyu nevya peke ko rondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwethi. Oo, pwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Olo peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Olo peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Olo peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu chima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina. Itako na wina rishangita jinon.
My friend.
Alright. Yeah. So, welcome back. And our time is 30 minutes. We still have 30 minutes and to before we come to the end of unpacking the day this morning. All right, as I said, so what they are saying is agro processing, that is a big opportunity. All right. So, and as I said, well, we move our farmers. You know, our farmer move things. They move cattle, they move grain, they move fresh produce that we produce across the border. Every single day we do that. And anything that make that easier, that actually soothe the borders, that cut the paperwork, you know, at those at our borders, I think that's a good for the farmers, you know, Maheke or wherever they are trying to sell, trying to sell into Johannesburg. No argument there. There's definitely no argument there. But here's the uncomfortable truth. All right? Are we going to process that meat inside Namibia? I'm talking now the things. Are we going to process that meat inside Namibia? Create jobs at the abattoir in Windhoek or in Kietmanshoop or in Gobabis? Or are we going to keep loading live cattle into trucks to South Africa and let them do the value add there? And then we buy back the boerewors at the higher price. So when we're now talking, saying agro-processing is a big opportunity. So what are we actually going to do as SACU members now? Or maybe as Namibia within this, okay? Because South Africa doesn't care because, well, the value is being added there. So, and what do they? And we buy back the boerewors. And we're buying at a higher price. So what are we going to do? So are we going to keep loading, you know, live cattle into truck to South Africa? And we give you update on that all the time, quarter after quarter, how many live cattles and winners that we send to South Africa. Winners or winners. What was my word? What is what I'm thinking today? My mind is a little bit, it's a bit locked. There's half of it been stolen. So just bear with me. All right. So that's the question. That's actually the question, and that is the pattern we have, and that's the pattern we have been stuck since independence. We have stuck in this pattern since independence. So if this summit doesn't change that, then agro-processing opportunity is just another slogan, you know, in another communique. You will find it, you will get a communique coming out at the end of that, and these are some of the things that will be said. So, and we want to see changes, man. We want to see changes. So the other thing, then they mention also critical mineral beneficiation. So they also mention the critical mineral beneficiation. It becoming the one thing that I, there is a little bit of a, how would I call this? There's a bit of a movement in Africa. I don't know how much, we see that in country like Uganda, in country like, Uganda, Rwanda, you know, and also some in Sahel, some country of Sahel region as well. There's a movement of local content, beneficiation. Okay. There's a movement. There's a little bit of a spirit, if you like, you know, brewing up, slowly by slowly, which is a good thing to see, which is actually a good thing to see. So we just need to see how the momentum of that. So even here, there's mineral questions. And that is definitely close to Namibia. It's close to us because, yeah, they mentioned the critical mineral beneficiation. Now this one, I think, should make every one of us actually pay attention. We should pay attention to it. We have lithium, we have rare earth, and we have all the minerals. The whole world is knocking on our door for the green energy transition. They do. They are knocking on our door, literally knocking on our doors, you know, for the green transitions. Yeah? The battery for electric cars. They are looking. So the lithium want the battery for electric cars. Yeah? The wind turbines, you know, the solar panels. Yeah? So we are rich. We are rich, or, you know. So Saku says now, Saku say we must beneficiate, okay? Meaning process the mineral here at home before they leave for our shores. You know, sounds great in press release. When you see this and reading it in papers, it sounds great. Wonderful. So, and if you do your investigation, you know, if you look around, who is actually building the processing plant? Eh? Where are we going to keep shipping? As we said, are we going to keep shipping raw lithium to China and buying back the batteries at a premium price? Or are we finally building a plant at Wavish Bay, at Arandas, that employs 500 Namibian on a permanent contract? Are we finally going to do that? So what Saku says, yeah, it wants to support manufacturing development. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Show us the factories. Show us the tender. Where is the tender? Show us the job. And we don't want next year, not after another summit, now. We want now. We want it now. So time, we need to, and this I mean now, and if we're ever listening us from, whether South Africa, Swaziland, Botswana, we need to start now campaign. Now. No more. We shouldn't be listening to anything now. Now. We have been listening. Come on, people. We have been listening to this rhetoric, you know, for years. Look at our NDPs. How many are they? Can you lift up one and said, well, we have actually done 50. I'm challenging you. Lift up one from 1 to 6. Take one and say, come through and tell me, yeah, NDP 1 or NDP 4, NDP 3, we have actually met that, or we have met the target 50%. Pick one. Some of us have looked at all those ones. So that's our job, to make sure that, you know, we know what we're talking about. So pick one and say, and come and let me know that, yeah, NDP 1, we actually meet the target 50%. Not even 50%. So Saku says it wants to support manufacturing development, but do we have even planned? Where are our plans? Yeah. We have. We have the priorities. We have development goals. We have, you know, we all have all those. And we're talking about it. Yeah. And we're talking about it. We're talking about it. So, but just to get it done. That's why I say, show us the job, show us the tender, you know, show us the factory. Eh? Not after another summit now. Now, let's start a now campaign. I'm going to start a now campaign. And that's implement it now. Eh? And we're going to hold you accountable to every one of them. Now, not next year, not now. Okay? So, and then there's the other thing on the agenda, also the African dream, which is actually the border that holds us back. You know? So, now, the continental bit, the African continental free trade area. Big dream. Very big dream. One Africa market. And 1.4 billion people. Goods and services moving across 54 countries. That's the dream. That's the big dream that we have. All right? In theory, as usual, so in theory, Namibia's business, it should be like this. Okay? In theory, a Namibian business in Okapuka. Okay? Let's take someone from Okapuka. So a Namibian business in Okapuka should be able to sell beef to Nigeria. Or someone in Omaheke, where, yeah, I thought Okapuka is in Omaheke. You know, someone in Omaheke, in Okapuka, should be able to sell beef to Nigeria, salt to Kenya, fish to Egypt. Easier than before. It should be easier than before. Beautiful on paper. Let's hear from our listeners. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking today.
Good morning, Big Mike.
Good morning, Uncle Bwana. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm fine. You sound depressed.
Yeah. No. I just came from the gym, man. You know.
Yeah?
I try to avoid those fatigue.
Okay.
So I just came from the gym. There's no way I can. Of course, maybe as part of, activities, but I'm fine.
Are you okay? No, that's good to hear.
So, otherwise, how are you doing?
No. I'm all good. You know
me. The dream is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, now the dream is very, very crucial. And, but then, how can that be really translated into,
tangible reality, yeah.
Yes, tangible reality.
Mm.
Yeah, and the other thing is that it's important, but the way I see it, so as long as the movement of the people are properly regulated.
Yeah, no, definitely. You don't want chaos. You don't want to have chaos in between borders.
And that's why you see issues of South Africa, I think it's also a learning lesson as to how to manage those dynamics, those movements and things like that.
Mm.
Illegal immigration, lawful, you know, all these things. But then the problem of also is that the war and many, many other factors contributes to those immigrations as well. So within the country and also between countries, states.
Yeah.
So I think the proper management, the border management and all these issues should be the priority.
Yeah.
So that we manage the movement of the people, the movement of goods and all these things, because like how you, I think you were talking about the day-to-day. Africa Day, or United Nations,
the
against drugs and all these other things, contraband. So now we need to ensure that the way we manage the movement of the people, the movement of the goods, and how we can collaborate very well in those borders, Water management, I think, is something very important.
Otherwise,
you have social and political chaos.
It is very important because there are a lot of delays. I mean, if we looking at yesterday, was it day before yesterday? We're talking about, you know, if you... it's something probably I have to mention here. So when you look at the truck queue for days at, for example, at Katima Mulilo or something like that, you know, when you're going to Zambia or, you know, so those are the things, and you're right, that those need to be managed properly to facilitate our trading between countries, you know.
It's true. So thank you very much, Big Mike, for the opportunity.
All right. No, you're welcome. Okay.
God bless.
Yeah, I was saying that in theory, this whole Africa continent, a free trade area, so what it should be, what it should make it easier is that a Namibian business in what town I said, you know, Kapuka, you know, should be able to sell beef to Nigeria. It should be easy to sell, you know. We did sell salt to Nigeria or to Kenya. So it should be easy for us to sell our things to other countries, and then vice versa. It should be easy. We can sell our beef to Nigeria, salt to Uganda, you know, fish to Morocco, you know. It should be easier than before. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful on paper. So, but as I was saying now, let me ask you something. Have you tried to move across the border to Zambia lately? Okay? The truck queue for days at Katima Mulilo. The paperwork alone can take a week. So imagine if we can't even fix the crossing into our neighboring Zambia. If we cannot just fix the crossing, you know, into our neighboring Zambia, what is the point of dreaming about Lagos? So what is the point of dreaming about Lagos? So when Saku say Africa Continental Free Trade Area is an opportunity. Yes, it is. It is an opportunity. But only if we get the... Actually, that's what Uncle Bon is saying, okay? But it's only if we get the basic right first. It's only if we get the basic right first. If we... What are those basic? Roads. So, roads. Our road network, are they good? Would they be able to facilitate? Would they be able to facilitate trade? The basic are borders, as he was just saying, you know, border management, custom system, electricity, simple, you know, things that you, electricity, the boring stuff. You know, this is sound like the boring stuff, but those are the stuff that actually makes the trade work. Believe me. They sound boring, but those are the things that makes the trade work. So we need to get those basic right first. Now, the other things, okay, let me also be... we have to understand Daku is not the enemy here, okay? Let me be balanced. Saku is not the enemy, but because... That's how we do here, what we do here on this show. We create that balance, the balanced perspective. Saku is not useless, okay? Saku is not useless. Far from it, actually. Far from it. Okay, I'm putting up my hands up. That's far from it. The custom money has kept Namibia's afloat through drought. So we know that money of Saku has kept Namibia's budget afloat through drought, through COVID, if you think of COVID,
through recession after recession. So, as I said, it's not useless. SACCO is not useless. Okay? So, and one thing that we have to admit is that South Africa carries the biggest load because it has the biggest economy. So they carry the biggest load. Botswana, Eswatini, Lesotho, and Namibia, we benefit. Eh? And that's a fact. We benefit. And we must be honest about it. But there's also a but. Maybe we should actually call this program a bad program, okay? But there's a catch, okay? There's a catch. All right? I'm going to come back to that. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yeah, here's that mic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll give me 2 minutes.
Yeah, this is another one, actually. It's different, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what that makes, ne? The problem I think I see with the SACCO,
yeah,
is that we are not allowed to trade with another non-member of SACCO. Look, yeah. But I don't know how
it means,
really. But,
no, what it means is that there are privileges that has been, you know, created for SACCO members, and those privileges cannot be automatically applied to members outside of SACCO. Yeah.
For me, I find it so fascinating because, look, we have an issue of like why we cannot trade with so much product with Angolans. Except maybe if you are like the drought situation, they can allow us to go and take mango and what's on. But apart from that,
but look at the country.
Talk about even,
look at the country. You have to look at the country. That actually member of SACCO, you can think that they were like, and this is about, think of when it started. This deal started, it was built in 1910. Yeah, it was built in 1910. And look at the country that are in there. It's South Africa. I mean, it's South Africa, it's Lesotho, it's Botswana, it's Namibia, and Swaziland. Those were like, Swaziland is like part of South Africa completely. Lesotho is part of South Africa.
And
Namibia
was
part of South Africa.
Part of South Africa was always there.
Botswana, it's the same thing. You understand? Yeah. So that's why Angola, Zambia, whatever, are not part of that. So.
But for me, when you look at the country which you are trading with, like, between us and South Africa, and maybe small percent of Botswana.
Yeah.
But if you are talking about Swaziland, Lesotho, what we do, would we even sell our fish there? Or would we even take our agriculture product, or we take something from them? I don't think so. It's not much.
Yeah.
We do. But from us to South Africa, I think maybe about 70%.
Yeah.
Product, between us. But the problem what I see is that when you are not allowed to try to look for your own opportunity outside there, so this thing is keeping us just where we are today.
Yeah.
We are not going anywhere because the opportunity are there, but now Sagwe is saying this. Sagwe is saying this, you cannot do this, you cannot do this. It's the one allowing you to do it. But I don't know how they do it, like in the Botswana way.
There are other platforms that are opening up, like the African Continental Free Trade Areas. So within that context, you can actually trade, but there is, as you're saying, there's a notification of SACCO member. In the way that affect your trading with those platforms as well. You're right. So
my take when you look at the Botswana, how they do it to go and take the fuel from Angola? Well, as we've been crying for our government to take the fuel from Angola, but you know, we've been threatened by SACCO. That's why our leaders, they cannot do anything. And I don't know how did the Botswana get the right to do that?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make sense, man, for us to buy so fuel was expensive, Because some of the fuel, they used to come from Angola, go to through South Africa, come back to Namibia. Well, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And now Botswana is taking it directly, using our road, isn't it, to go and take those oil in Angola.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we are here looking somewhere around what, Saudi Arabia or whatever, somewhere outside, far from us, which will be more costly when you come to transport and so on.
Sometimes far from us is actually cheaper than
the next door.
Yeah. Time, my friend.
Yeah. Which is, yeah, I understand that, yeah, that way, but sometimes I think it's a way to invest also, because remember, Botswana, they invest also money in Lobito refinery.
Yeah, you see.
And we are here. Up to now, we don't know where our leader is standing.
Yeah.
Apart from Murunga, who has taken 100 million to invest in that Lobito refinery. But up to now, nobody even talks about it anymore. You see now. I think it's a cool. It's good that they are there because we are getting some revenue which you can use on our personal budget.
Yeah.
But serious, I think there must be something also that they need to allow us to do.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let me end
all
up
right,
the mic.
Have a great day ahead. So.
All right. Same to you, man. A good weekend.
Oh, great.
Sure.
Yeah. As I said, there's a catch. There's a catch there. The deal was built. This build was actually built in 1910. Yes, 1910. The world have changed. The world have changed since 1910, and even South Africa itself is under economic pressure. They really under economic pressure. There are voices in Pretoria quietly, you know, asking why are we sharing so much with our smaller neighbors when we have our own unemployment crisis at home? You know, that pressure is real in South Africa. And it means Namibia, as Namibia, we cannot keep relying on the check from Pretoria forever. We cannot just keep relying on that from that check. You know, they said the gravy train has a finite number. The gravy train has a finite number of station left. So we gotta be very, very, very careful. So, yeah. So maybe what must our president and trade ministers push for in Cape Town? So as they are now in Cape Town. So number one, they must protect SACU revenue sharing formula. I think that should be protected until we have something in place. So protect that SACU revenue sharing formula. Protect the revenue sharing arrangement while the country continues maybe building our own industries. If it happened like this, that's going to be a problem. If anyone wants to change the formula, okay, let it be debated in parliament, in public, so with numbers on the table. So we need to see that. All right. So the other two, the other thing is, it's really demanding, really industrial project. No more summit. So, a quick one. All right. Missed that one out. All right. So demand industrial project. So we should be demanding a meat processing plant in the south. Okay. I'm just mentioning, you know. A very good morning.
Buen dia, familia.
You are very late.
Yeah, but I'm okay. I think I have it now.
You just have 1 minute or two, please.
Okay.
I need to round off for France. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so I'm thinking the issue of this SACU and whatever.
The issue of
the SACU and others.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why Botswana getting, Namibia not, you know? I think they follow who was your colonizer.
Yeah.
I think maybe your colonizer is the Portuguese, is the English, they don't eat in the same plate. So that's the other barrier. And my thinking is like, our ambassador, they are not doing it enough. Yeah. When they send, like, let me say, the ambassador to the ambassador in Angola to Namibia, or in Namibia to Angola, they're not doing it enough. You know, they need you are there for you to showcase what your country can do, and you are going to understand what they are doing better. So for you to bring it home for us to engage, to say, how can we grow in this area, in this sector?
Yeah.
Now, if you don't do that, how will you improve in issue of the petrol, issue of agriculture, issue of fish industry, issue of infrastructure? So, no, the ambassador, well, they are not doing it really enough, on my view. Even the European ambassador in Africa, you know, it's only in Namibia where you see like the embassy of China, embassy of what are going to support a school or whatever. In other countries, you don't see those things. What's the problem? And people are in poverty. And you are there as an ambassador to help them to grow. You are not doing anything. You know? Really, these guys are not really... maybe we need to think about it. So for them to bring our problem to the table.
Yeah. I think if it were, you know, I think many other European countries and probably developed country, when they sent ambassadors, it's because they know what our focus in those countries are. What are we going to, what are the things that we are after? And when we send you there, those are the things that we want you really to work on, to achieve. For us, we just have representatives. It's just representatives. We don't really have like, okay, what is that? What do we see? This country have this and this and this, and we want to have, it's not just a bilateral relationship. We want, you know, we want to create a trade relationship based on, you know, something that we see actually in that country, you know. So, it's almost time, man. So let's, I just want to.
Yeah, in the other hand, I also think maybe because of the political system, which is the one, I think maybe you see what we see, but because in the political system, there's things you cannot say because of the political system which send you to be there. Maybe that's the problem. But I read they need to push to the button where we need to follow them. Because they're not doing anything to the countries. People are in poverty, you are there, you're not doing anything. Like down, let me say in Angola, what are these guys doing there? We have shortage of petrol in the country. People are, we need petrol from Angola, but we cannot get it.
Yeah.
And what are you, what can you say now? What can you tell us for us to understand to not sing the same music anymore? Thank you, my brother.
All right, man. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Well, thank you. Likewise.
So I was saying what our president and the trade ministers, what do they need to push in Cape Town? One is to demand real industrial project. You know, we need to see the meat processing plant in one of our town, a lithium beneficiation facility. At the cost, a pharmaceutical plant saving the whole region. That's one thing. Can we have a pharmaceutical saving the region? You know, tangible brick and mortar, as they said, brick and mortar, not communique. So not flooding us with communique all the time. So, number three. You know, Namibia timelines, there must be a demand. There must be a demand timelines, not vibes. Much of this actually happened on vibes. Not we will explore opportunities. No, we have been exploring since 1990. We need, by now, we need when. We need by when a date, a deadline, a name attached to the promise. Otherwise, it's just talk. And Namibians are tired of talk. We are tired of talk. So here's my take quickly before I hand over. You know, SACCU has fed us for years, and we must respect that. But union that only shares custom money is a union that runs out of road at one point. So if we don't industrialize now, so while we still have the minerals in the ground, you know, while we still have the agricultural land, while the SACCU check is still coming in,
I think we will wake up one day without, with nothing to sell. Yeah? We'll wake up one day with nothing to sell and nothing to make. And by then, the rest of the region will have moved on. Will have moved on without us. So that is the real story behind the today's summit. And not the photo ops, because some people just go there, you know, to have photo, maybe at Table Mountain, you know. Yeah, not the shoot and shake hands, you know, handshakes. So the real story is whether Namibia is finally going to build something of its own, or whether we will still be importing our future. Let's call it that way. Are we still going to be importing our future 10 years from now? So that's the question. So, yeah. So what is your pessimism? Are you optimistic? Are you optimistic about SACCO? Do you think this summit will change anything for the ordinary Namibian? Because that's what our focus is. The tax driver, the shebeen owner, the teacher, the smallholder farmers. So, or is it just another talk shop where leaders pose for cameras and nothing moves? So, yeah, let's debate this as wherever you find yourself. So, because your voice definitely matter, get on our website, get on our platforms, and let's continue debating and on issues that we bring you. So, have a great weekend, and well, please, you shouldn't do what I wouldn't do, but if you do, make sure that you are sober, all right? So let me hand you to capable hand, in a very capable hand of Tate France. I'm handing over now to the capital. So, yeah, and have a great day ahead from me, Michael Chiavelli. Have a great weekend, and so goodbye.